All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. Good morning, sweet world! Just kidding.
Hey-o!
But I figured if it was good enough for the starters, good enough for Bill Simmons, if they wanted to use royalty-free generic music...
Then by George.
It's good enough for us.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to hear... Actually, I think let's probably... We might use our non-royalty-free music provided to us by local band Codaphonic.
Thanks, Cody.
How hard is it for the NBA and Disney, these international giant corporations, to just pay a musician to create like a 20 seconds of music?
The answer is... We have devalued music to the point of no value.
That's right.
Which is why I made less money this year than in any year past.
It's the same to be said about pornography and podcasting. So
it's just we're just giving it away.
Yeah, if it wasn't for, we're not asking people to pay for this.
Well, maybe we should. Let's bring the value back.
It's a free economy. That's what we're moving towards. It's a trade-based bartering system. We're all going back to beaver pelts.
While hospital administrators make $400,000 a year.
It seems like, at least those starters guys seem like they maybe... I'm basing this on the fact that they wear plaid. Mm-hmm. It seems like they would at least know some musicians who they'd be like, hey, we can cut you like a $100 check. Like, and then we'll use your music and we'll say it's yours.
Yeah,
and Canada is a hot there are music. Thousands of musicians who would do that.
Yeah,
I mean, local businesses all the time are like, hey... We're making a commercial. We don't really have a budget, but would you take $200 for your song? To which a person like John or a person like me is like, yes, please. Like, it's amazing getting paid for music.
Yeah.
To our dear listeners, John and I fancy ourselves musicians.
A little cognitive dissonance there, maybe, but hey. Well, no. And actually, at this point, it's Stockholm Syndrome. I have been kidnapped by my own band. and now I believe...
He secretly loves them.
I believe that the message is real now.
He's like the unbreakable John Burr.
Patty Hearst over here.
Right. All right, well, we got a little off making fun of this again. This, if you don't know what we're talking about, the Starters podcast and Bill Simmons, Bill Don't Lie is the new basketball-only podcast from Bill Simmons, and he used the exact same generic royalty-free music that the Starters, who happen to be the top basketball podcast, use. So we figured, again, we would jump in.
Woeful
on that.
Oversight.
Woeful oversight.
No, but breaking it down is hilarious to me. That's just like, someone's like, yeah, that sounds like, well, what if that music just echoes to basketball? Like, it just makes you feel like you're at a basketball
game. What if on the royalty-free, like, CD or database, it's just titled, like, Hoop It Up.
Right.
And some intern is like, oh, yeah, let's just give him.
This one says basketball.
Let's give him Hoop It Up.
Yeah.
That seems
for me,
good.
There's only one song that really says basketball, and that's John Tesh's Round Ball Rock. As played live with an amazing violinist.
Beautiful.
We'll have to link to that. Well, anyway, let's introduce...
I think we skipped
everything.
Wait, I think if we're going to do this, we should just steal everything the whole episode. So I'm going to steal things.
Oh, okay. This is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects, which is true.
I'm Dave Jacoby.
Yeah.
I'm Jalen Rose.
Champagne campaign.
All right. Well, my name is Keith, and I am here, as always, with John and Chuck.
Hey, yo.
Guys, let's talk about briefly... Let's talk about breakfast. What'd you have for breakfast?
I had day-old chicken pot pie.
Whoo, Marie Callender's?
No, homemade chicken pot pie.
Okay, not as good then.
Yeah, lacking. No, this chicken pot pie is amazing.
Yep.
Made it myself.
You made it?
What you do is you take a bird, one of those rotisserie birds from one of the stores. You throw it in a pot, you boil it out, get all the skin out,
You already lost me. You get a bird at a store?
Yeah, you get one of the pre-cooked rotisserie chickens.
Ah.
Bird.
With you.
Staple Keith. Of this household.
Yeah, you get the pre-cooked rotisserie, which every baller should be getting at least twice a week.
That's your protein right there.
You need that protein. Cheap, it's hot, it's fresh, you're doing it, living. So you take that, you boil it out. That way all the everything peels off. Mm-hmm. You strain it. You can keep the stock, you do whatever you want with it. I like to keep my stock. Then you cook basically a pie. You throw in some Rotel, Put a little bit of Velveeta cheese.
Rotel
yeah. and Velveeta?
Holy shit. Yeah.
Velveeta
shnikes.
Cheese or a tin if you don't want it hot, a little bit of, you know, like veg all mixed
so you
vegetables.
Ate like Super Bowl cheese dip for breakfast.
With a flaky crust.
With a flaky Pillsbury dough crust. Yes. So that's what I had.
Oh my God.
Just one slice. It was the size of a, you know, a piece of pie. It was fine. I didn't go crazy.
I'm taking you in for an EKG. So you the make slices out of the pie.
Yeah, the government tells me I'm strong as a horse.
See, I'm even filthier than you. I just like eat the top out of it.
The government has to tell you that, otherwise they have to pay for your procedures and things.
No,
right?
This is actually I build this. Yeah, they do. This is all built. I make this pie.
You keep telling them you're depressed, and they're like, I'm sorry, we don't have a box for depressed.
You know what
like
that is? What you ate?
What?
You ate single dad food.
His single dad food. That's a really good meal. Yes. Look, if I brought you this, y'all would love me.
Oh, I'm into it.
Yeah, it's that.
When my old lady goes out of town, I don't have any children, but I turn into single dad food, man.
Yeah, but do you want to make it the perfect single dad food? And it ties into our borrowed segment. My mother-in-law made it.
Ooh! Yeah.
I never actually cooked it. If I sounded like I actually cooked it, I was meaning it in the weirdest way possible.
My favorite,
but I borrowed it, so yeah, I borrowed the story too.
My favorite single dad slash starving musician move, go buy like a Tony's pizza, but, then you buy a package of fine boar's head pepperonis and double up those pepperonis.
Oh, yeah. That's a good move. What I like to do is wrap bagel bites or pizza rolls with bacon.
Whoa.
I mean, Little Caesars jumped on that.
They did.
I mean, they now have the bacon wraps, pizza, hot and ready.
I call hypocrisy on Chuck. He besmirched the Caesars bacon.
I just didn't even know that was an option. Like, I just went in and said, give me the old fashioned.
You were mad. You were mad they stole your idea.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I had something super strange for breakfast. I had Szechuan dry and numbing eggplant.
Oh.
Leftovers.
What is that?
And I ate it as I scouted a Comcast worker. So it was a very fiery morning for me.
I had the most. I'm like the. Normally, I don't actually eat the breakfast food. I had a bowl of granola, some maple brown sugar flavored organic. Mm-hmm. But I bought it at Kroger.
Kind, be kind. Or
it was. Yeah, I'm not even sure. I was in a weird. You know, you go to the grocery store hungry.
Yeah.
You're like, I might need a cereal. And yeah, it was. So
Well, at least you buy healthy when you go to the grocery store hungry. When I go to the grocery store hungry.
Oh, no. I bought Vienna sausages and all kinds of just weird potted meats.
Potted meats.
Yeah.
You got back to your roots.
Yeah. Some I was like, Tennessee I might eat shit. This tomorrow, but right now I need to eat this Vienna sausage because I'm really hungry.
Do you cut it with the can?
You pop it open, you pour all the oils out in the parking lot.
No.
And then you just start gobbling up and then you throw the can, you know.
In the street?
In the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. I don't litter, but that oil—that's not littering. That's good. That's good for the parking lot.
Yeah,
that's biodegradable. It's just aluminium.
Aluminium. Don't you bring that British into this beautiful podcast?
I'm an Anglophile. Well, I was an Anglophile until I went to England a lot, and now I'm USA.
Yeah.
England is best enjoyed from afar. Yeah. Just watching their TV programs.
You feel really smart watching the BBC.
Little Premier League. Yeah, yeah.
Then you go to England. You're like. Holy
not for
Lord.
Me.
Yeah. The like 4-year-olds are making TARDIS jokes.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Only the best thing in England is they're watching their political process on television is amazing. And I wish ours was more like that, where people just straight up just yell in each other's faces.
And like a 4-week campaign. They don't do that year long.
You don't watch Best of C-SPAN on YouTube? It's a YouTube channel. Best of C-SPAN.
I do not.
I'm fictional. Oh. That's all fiction. It seems like there might be.
Okay, yeah, this show is about basketball.
All right, so now for our friends can all stop listening because we're going to start talking about basketball. The NBA. And we start off every week with a little thing we call our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make up for what we may have gotten incorrect in previous episodes. Or, in my case, I apologize for the hexes I throw onto certain teams, organizations, fan bases, and the like. This week, I actually talked about it a little bit, I think, in the last couple episodes, but never a formal apology. I will apologize to Chris Middleton, future Grizzly, Chris Middleton.
I don't even want him anymore after what you've done to
him. Because after talking about how I kept waiting. I believe my words were like, I keep waiting for him to like miss shots, but he's just shown himself to be so consistent and shoots such a great percentage. And so that was just the Parrish hex. And he has been really struggling with that stroke the last month. Once they got rid of Brandon Knight, there was a brief little honeymoon period where he was taking more shots, being like having a higher usage, playing more minutes, and still hitting all the shots at a good percentage. But since then, he's fallen back to earth. A little regression to the mean. I still would accept him at a, you know, what do you say, 4-year, $40 million? That'd be fine.
Wow.
But he's going to get more than that.
Yeah.
P.S.
Yeah, I don't.
But so I apologize. I apologize to Chris Middleton for maybe giving that stink that I am sometimes will do when I talk positively about
his,
a person.
The spelling of his name? Is it revolutionary? Is he the first of his kind?
K-H-R-I-S. It's not bad. It doesn't, because, I mean, the K-R-I-S makes sense. You're like, all right, C-H-R, there's no reason for it. We already have the K that makes the C-H that you're using. K. Throwing that extra H in there.
Or Ch.
It's kind of like con.
It is kind of like con.
You know, like a... Yeah.
Or
isn't that pronounced Chon or
con!
If you move the H
way
after the A, yeah, you then back. Have con, the GM of the Grizzlies, or the super... What's his official...
GM of the Grizzlies, no.
No, GM of the Timberwolves, excuse me.
God help us.
Or the...
Johnny Flynn fan.
The super... human Star Trek nemesis.
Yeah.
The eugenically, genetically engineered nemesis of James Tiberius Kirk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have apologies?
I do.
Chuck, what is your apology?
I apologize for Nerlens Noel for not giving him a really cool nickname yet.
So okay.
I was on the Sixers Reddit subreddit.
Yep.
Some of the good ones. The Nerlens Wall.
Hey, now.
The Eraser, for obvious reasons. What are the other ones?
I feel like the eraser, something about his flat top seems like it could be part of the pencil eraser. Does that make sense?
I think that's where it's coming from.
That's what it's coming from?
I thought it was because he erased shots.
Nothing to do with the Schwarzenegger, James Caan, the eraser.
Okay. Classic film. Your luggage.
Yeah.
He said as he shot an alligator.
Love that.
I just said that knowing John. I knew John would have a quote. I knew that was right in John's wheelhouse. So
I'm a James Caan completist.
Like, I barely remember watching it. When
I like the Nerlens Wall.
The Nerlens Wall's good.
But yeah, those that
the Stifle Tower.
Leading lady was Vanessa Williams.
The Nerlens Wall.
Yeah, we
Stifle Tower Nerlens Wall is that's. A beautiful thing.
We're getting a little
off topic, but yeah.
No, it's good.
The topic
it's good. John, you
I think you're
something?
Right, and I think you should remedy this.
I think you
by
can
next
come
week,
up with something,
I think
Chuck.
You come in with something.
Wait, this is not part of your official...
Noel, a Nerlens Noel nickname.
Nickname, yeah.
I got it.
Shouldn't there be a Christmas... some kind of Christmas pun involved with the Noel name?
Yeah.
I want to see you go after Nerlens.
Maybe when he plays bad, I'll call him the worst Noel.
Like that. That's good.
Or you get different versions of them, you know.
Right.
Good
right.
Boogie, bad boogie, whatever. What are the ones that we're doing?
There is good only Lance, there is Lance. Only good boogie there at this is. Point. That man did some work this week.
He did all do some him. Work.
I'd like to apologize. I think I've put a Keithish hex on Nikola Mirotic. Or more accurately, Tom Thibodeau put a hex on Nikola Mirotic. He played Taj Gibson came back. Taj Gibson comes back. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see he might play Taj Gibson more than Nikola Mirotic. No. Mike Dunleavy getting the minutes. And suddenly Mirotic and Gibson are platooning, which did result in a loss to the Bucks. But, I mean, we've talked about this. The Bulls are a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a Tom Thibodeau-shaped... Who knows what's happening in Chicago any longer?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Nikola Mirotic. I shouldn't have praised you so high.
I thought you were going to apologize for last week you made a Going Clear reference, but I guess based on the book, this is before the HBO documentary even came out. Mm-hmm. I was re-listening to the episode, and I didn't even get your reference last week. You were like, I feel like I just got audited.
Oh.
And so then 5 days later, I'm watching the Going Clear documentary. So, John, our listeners are not readers.
I know.
You can't be breaking the jokes days before the things are the actual film versions are released.
I will see the documentary, but I am a committed reader and have read that. That's one of the few books that I've read multiple times because it's that good.
Yeah.
Is the doc really good too?
The doc is very interesting. And it has definitely set me on a path of, again, we're off the NBA, but it's definitely set me on the path of wanting to find out more about the David Miscavige.
Yes.
And apparently, they don't mention this in the spoiler.
Are you going to do his wife?
Apparently, yeah, his wife has been missing for a long time.
He killed that poor woman.
For several years. That's not even touched upon. So now I've been reading about David Miscavige's wife.
He killed that poor woman.
And those are our breakfast in bed apologies.
He's got her toe somewhere.
Yeah, so that's... very intriguing. So speaking of the NBA, now, our best things, our steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the NBA this week?
Chris Paul. That last night when he was that win in Portland versus Portland. 41, 17 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, a single turnover.
I got a theory about that game.
61% from the field, perfect from the line. Oh. Crazy, 45%.
Unbelievable stats.
Absolutely. Yesterday was an April Fool's Day for stat lovers.
Here's
look at the stat line and go, that's not right. You're kidding me, Boogie. And sorry, did I just step on somebody's best?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna drop. I don't know if this is related to what John's about to say. I'm gonna drop some haterade on that Chris Paul performance.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Dame Lillard.
Who was guarding him?
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
We're in one mind.
Because I pulled up last week like Conley's career numbers against Dame Lillard. I need to run the Chris Paul versus Dame Lillard. That was a huge game.
Zone.
So
he's in the zone.
Of all the crazy games that happened on Wednesday night in the NBA where James Harden scored 51. The Chris Paul game,
right.
DeMarcus Cousins put up a stat line that we've never seen before. And then I think Chris Paul's is the best because it was a huge game. It was a playoff game because they're fighting. There's a good chance they play the Trailblazers in the first round.
Right.
And that game had a lot to do with the home court advantage. Also, as I'll talk later in our scattered, smothered, and covered thoughts, the Clippers have a chance to move really high up in the seedings. It's attainable. And that was pretty much their last game outside of a Grizzlies matchup at home that could have been and maybe should have been a loss. Second night of a back-to-back on the road in Portland against a team that desperately needed to win. To come through with such a performance, I was blown away.
Right.
But also, it strikes me, Dame Lillard, man. Like, you got to bring it on both sides. Like,
I don't know. He's still an NBA player. And even if he's like a negative, win share kind of guy.
I'm conceding it was the best performance of the great performances.
Right, right.
But it's still just, part of me is like, oh, man.
It's still, do that. Do what he did with no defense out there. And it's kind of.
I think Iverson is maybe the only other person to have 40-15 and one turnover.
Yeah, that's insane. So good for you.
All that mercy. I think that was a transitive property where Steph Curry, by breaking Chris Paul's ankles off of his body, transferred his superpowers to Chris Paul for one night.
That also could be Chris Paul was destroyed on the play that went viral. One of the best one-on-one moves. Imagining normally when you have a guy on skates in the NBA or a guy who just falls over, it's the unfortunate kind of stiff or tall guy who switches onto a guard.
It wasn't skate. That's
this
the best
is first
defender.
Team yeah. all NBA point guard.
Best point
fell
guard
down,
and he just didn't make him put him on skates. He put him. He made him break into Electric Boogaloo.
But this is your official the Steph Curry play, or are we just talking?
It actually wasn't.
Let's
it
just
wasn't,
talk.
But we just need to talk
we'll
about
let you
that
have
play.
Another.
Yeah.
That and the Blake Griffin 180-degree block were my favorite plays of the week.
Yeah, the pickup ball slam block, the backhand slap.
The backhand.
Like, you gave up on D.
You think
just,
it's there.
Right.
That's the type of play, if that happens to you, either of these plays, you take your ball and you go home.
Yeah.
So I would say Chris Paul owned it pretty well. I mean,
yeah,
he made some jokes on the internet about it. But again, I'm sitting there watching that thinking, I can't remember. Because also you think, I mean, again, he's a great defender. He's a best point guard defender, perhaps. To have him fall down with the double behind the back move and then hit that fadeaway jumper was jaw-dropping entertainment.
Right.
Steph Curry's handle has snatched the throne, snatched the plate.
That's it. I sent a friend of ours a text message when you sent me that vine of Curry breaking his ankles. And we were having an argument at the bar the other night about Curry being the MVP, and that's it. That's it. It's done.
Yeah.
He's that dude.
Have some of that.
And when you break one of the top five defensive, I mean, where are we at, Chris Paul? Where, how do we feel about it?
I don't know. I mean, into his stats. I don't
amazing
have
amazing defensive.
Right. I mean, he's one of the best. He coasts a little on defense early in the year. I think some right. of that was knowing his role, but he is awesome, and he was definitely trying.
Yeah, and I wasn't certain because I know his steal numbers always yeah,
always amazing. Pick your pocket.
Those are always a little misleading though, and
he is larcenous.
So yeah. Mainly. Dame Lillard might have been the unfortunate byproduct of Chris Paul goes viral one night in an embarrassing fashion.
Yeah.
And the competitor, like the top of the line competitor that he is, goes out the next night with murder in his eyes.
Yeah.
And he just destroyed. Spectacular game.
Yeah.
My steak and eggs, this was in my notes for last week, actually, to mention. And it kept going. So, Brooke Lopez over the last
Brolo
El Cunado.
You only Brooke once
in his last seven games, averaging 26 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, shooting 60% from the floor. The Nets are 7-1. That is spectacular.
Single-handedly. Pushing them back into the playoff picture.
And it also coincides with Bobby Shmurda getting let out of prison. So, Brooklyn's own Bobby Shmurda.
Cool.
I'm gonna Google that later. Well,
you can cut it out. It's okay.
You know, that went out to all the people who aren't Keith and Chuck in the world. Uh-huh. Or Keith and me.
Yeah. If you ain't a host, stay up at my trap house. That's all it is. Bobby Shmurda, Brooklyn.
So this 8-game run where the Nets have thrust themselves into pretty good position for the playoff race.
Despite Jarrett Jack's best efforts.
Correct. So suddenly the steroids are working again for Deron Williams and Brooke Lopez. All of a sudden they're playing well again. But this 8-game run from or 7-game run, excuse me, for Brooke Lopez, I think means one thing. I just gave him the parish hex.
Done.
Oh, and I assume he... Sorry, Nets fans. I assume he's coming crashing down to earth in the next 7 days.
Go ahead and pick up Dunk Contest Plumlee. Because he's going to get serious minutes after Brooke Lopez breaks his foot yet again.
Re-breaks his foot. You heard it here first.
Or just completely forgets how to play basketball.
Parish hex is real, y'all.
The Louis Scola. Should we go back? Some of the ones that you've blessed and turned into a nightmare. Scola was one.
No, Scola was negative.
Was he negative?
I called him out for being a corpse.
Okay. It works both ways.
It does. Whatever it he says.
Kinsane Clown Posse.
I will say, last week, Kinsane Clown Posse was my best, and he'd been the worst all year. I'm happy to say he is a nominee again this week, back where he belongs, as a international stack house of pancakes.
You're
hopeful.
You're... Praise or disdain is the most double-edged sword in all this game.
It really is. Our NBA players who are listeners, they bated breath every week, hoping their names do not come up. All right, now the opposite of the steak and eggs thing.
I got one.
You got a worst.
I got a best. This is,
I thought you did your one any back.
I refuse.
Oh. John, give us another one. Steak and eggs from John.
I have a heartwarming tale. There was so much best this week that it was outrageous. Okay. But I have to say, I read an article on the Yahoo Sports blog, Ball Don't Lie, that detailed that Russell Westbrook...
Was that Bill Don't Lie?
Nope, Ball Don't Lie.
Right.
Yet Bill Simmons stepping on more toes.
More toes.
You know, Russell Westbrook has sort of a strange reputation within the media as being kind of like icy and enigmatic. And
I think enigmatic is fair.
I think so, too. But he turns out he's not even gunning for the MVP award. He is literally gunning for the citizenship award. And he wants his charity work and his, you know, community work to shine more so than anything else, which is pretty, you know, outstanding for a player who kind of gets shat on for his personality every now and again. But hidden within this article is an amazing quote from Nick Collison. And Keith, you're going to have to get the censor button ready.
All right.
Here's from the article. Westbrook's superpower is hard to measure or define. Nick Collison probably comes closest. Quote, his give a f- level, the Thunder forward says, is very, very high.
Slurpee. Oh, my God. So high. His levels. My goodness.
That's nice.
Nick Collison has a way with words.
You're the something.
I gotta say, too. Chuck, should we mark the day? I've never seen John drink the PR Kool-Aid as hard. He's always the first one.
He is a cynical,
he's always the first one to shoot dude. Us down.
I was heartwarmed.
It's really hard. It's
I don't cockles. Know. Were you having a kind of a blue day?
It's and
you
just read it. And Comcast was here today.
And you read this article. You read this little human interest story article, and it really just
it's so
warmed the cockles of your heart.
There are so many just heartstring tugging little moments in this thing.
What's great?
Westbrook's Why Not Foundation has created reading rooms at 3 Oklahoma City elementary schools this season.
I should have known something was up. I had car trouble before the podcast, and John came and picked me up from the auto repair place and didn't even talk once.
He was just one man.
I handed you a beer as soon as you got my car.
This says, "Here, buddy, here's a beer." And I was like, "Sweet." And
that's legal in the state of Tennessee for any of our other listeners.
I'm not going to say if John was drinking or not, but
no, ma'am,
not at all.
All right, that was a good best thing. I'm John. I'm happy. I'm happy that you read a human interest happy story and you did not immediately shoot it down or get angry about it
or like go to Snopes and check it out.
Right,
man, that's not even true.
That's right. All right,
kill those kids.
All right, now it's time for the cream of wheat worst of week. I'll do mine. I feel like this is a mainstream answer, or at least as a unbiased answer, or perhaps a biased answer. The Memphis Grizzlies, my favorite team, they went through a stretch of playing three of the top title contending teams in the NBA. The Warriors, the Cavs, the Spurs, and they got obliterated. They lost three straight games by a combined 59 points. That was awful. The Grizzlies had clearly been struggling since the All-Star break, but most people, I think, and definitely myself included, still thought they were in the title conversation, or at least a team that could get there. And they were woefully unprepared to match up with these teams. It's not bad in a vacuum or just individually to lose any of these single games, but you don't want to face teams and make them look unstoppable. Like if you're playing, the Cavs might have played their best game of all season in that game. And so you're like, all right, fine. The Grizzlies
their passes
competed.
Looked like Pong. It was terrifying.
The Cavs and Warriors both played exceptional games. But then you hit that point where you're like, oh, these teams both looked like their best games of the whole year. That
against,
could be a pattern
against
a common opponent, you know? So, my worst thing is the Grizzlies getting not really even showing up against these other elite teams.
We look like Ronda Rousey opponents. We got armbarred consecutively.
Yeah.
That's a female MMA reference.
Thank you.
It seems it. I got my worst.
Yes, Chuck.
2 Chainz. How dare you? Robbie Callen, I guess, a writer for a thing. He asked 2 Chainz, what Hawks player embodies you the most? 2 Chainz says, man, I don't know. They all play defense. I ain't with that. So 2 Chainz, how dare you, man, not put in some effort on the defensive side of the court. You're a role model, dude. You know, I know you talk about blunts and drinking lean and all that stuff, but defense? Got to play defense, 2 Chainz.
Also, must not be watching that closely, Paul Millsap does not play defense.
It's true.
He's a team defender.
He's a team.
Yeah, he's got that help. Larry Bird style.
That's the turn. That's
a little
term.
Bit of the help defense.
We prefer
help defense.
Swat a ball.
Yeah.
I would say, who would you say? What Hawk do you think 2 Chainz most? What game would he resemble the most? I got the answer.
Who's the one guy with braids or like dreads?
No, it's John Conkak. He's really overpaid.
2 Chainz earns every dollar he makes. Titty boy, hair weave killer. You're my boy. Shout out 2 Chainz. What about my real worst of the week, which is Kevin Durant being out the rest of the year? And,
it's all right. They got Deion Waiters now.
Yeah. Deion, you got the juice now, Deion. And here's the thing. It's all going to It's all going to just fall down the ledge onto the floor like Humpty Dumpty. And
are we going to talk about defensive play later in the
Yes.
We are. So I'll leave my Enos Kanter talk for then. My worst of the week is this bizarre trolling of David Blatt. where they will not let the story that LeBron perhaps doesn't like him or that LeBron's calling plays. How is that anything different from how basketball's always been played? Superstar players always dictate the pace and play of the team. Am I right?
That's correct.
Don't get on me with this.
Back in the day, you know, Casey Jones would freely admit, like, at the end of the game, Larry would call the plays. And God help you if you tried to, you know, double up on MJ at the end of a game. You knew where the ball was going. You know, the point guard calls the plays in the NBA anyways. That's what practice is for. Why? And maybe I understand this talk when the Cavs were struggling, which wasn't that much of struggling in hindsight. But the Cavs are dominating people, and yet we're still getting this full court press by the press on David Blatt, and I just don't even understand
it. It's just the media cycle.
Yeah,
although I will say, Brian Windhorst was on the BS report this week and gave a really
Brian Windbag.
Well, he gave
leading this full court press.
He gave a very enlightening. I mean, I thought it was an interesting interview.
Yeah.
Talking about how he'd gotten Blatt angry, talking about reporting on how the players would mainly look to Tyronn Lue and still do for all kinds of things. Like they look to the sidelines and ask Lue stuff as if Blatt's not even there.
That's not. Something,
but
that
again,
is
it's not a huge. It's not a huge
NBA. There's plenty of teams where the assistant coach is the guy who calls the plays.
Right.
I mean, that's just something that's almost commonplace. I mean, that's how Alvin Gentry gets his job.
I don't want to hear it.
That's how Lawrence Frank
got
banished.
It's all burning, guys. The whole Cavs organization. It's all taking a dump. Love is secretly slashing LeBron's tires in the parking lot. David Blatt can't make coffee without somebody giving him about it. And by the way, he makes the coffee for all the meetings. This is from Windhorse's.
Brian Windbag?
Windbags. I read his moleskin, and he left it on an airplane. I bought it for $50.
I don't think Windbag's a moleskin, man.
No, he's not. But
that's a legal pad, dude, if I ever saw one.
There's
a grease-stained legal pad.
Like cheese whiz on it.
Yeah.
There's no way that this Cavs organization isn't going to completely implode. Except they're really good, and they're going to make it out of the East, and they have a good chance to beat anyone out of the West, and I'm sad because it could have been us.
Well, here's something that'll pick you up. ProBasketballTalk.com just updated, and the latest headline is Kyrie Irving calls playing with LeBron James one of the greatest experiences in my life.
Oh, man. And he was at Obama's inauguration, so.
It just, the hits keep on coming, Chuck. All right, those were our cream of wheat. Worst of weeks. All right, now for the Waffle House presents the Hassan Whiteside cocked it back to Waffle House right. Presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. We touched on it earlier. Boogie Cousins is the first player since these things have been tracked to record 20 points, 20 boards, 10 assists, and 6 blocks. Unfortunately, he was outdone by James Harden, who scored 51. I also, that's one of those things. Scoring a bunch of points against the Kings is kind of like scoring a bunch of points against Dame Lillard. It just doesn't get my blood.
Oh, who are you to doubt Sauce Castillo?
Sauce Castillo.
My word.
Sauce Castillo?
He really hasn't seized on to his opportunity.
With the likes of Sauce Castillo and Sim Bular, the first Indian?
That is exciting that Sim Bular was called up.
Is that that's a character from Game of Thrones, right?
He looks like one.
Is he from...
he is the mountain.
He is from Westeros.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he might be a wildling, actually.
Actually, he's from New Mexico State.
Okay. he's like 30 pounds heavier than anyone's ever played in the NBA.
Is that true?
Yeah, and I'm going to go out on...
These things are not verified.
This is verified on my phone.
I'm just saying, I don't believe Shaq was playing it weights
I
that
would
were not
categorize
accurate.
Him as Shaq, but fatter and without any talent.
Okay,
that's a hot take.
about right there.
From the
350, 360?
The most impressive thing I know to his resume is he actually played over 40 minutes a game in a D-League game. That blew my mind. After seeing his person, I wasn't sure he'd be able to play 40 minutes in a basketball game. He did. Do it.
So going back to where I was right and you were wrong, Sim Bular is listed at 360, which is 30 pounds heavier than the heaviest listed player ever.
No.
Thomas Hamilton.
Nobody buys that Oliver Miller and Shaq played
Under 40.
Under
I was just pointing out that the listed weights, this is no
They never play.
I'm going to go ahead and say Vin Baker, when he was on the sauce, not Sauce Castillo, but on that alcohol, probably was tipping about 330 as well.
Tipping on fofos.
I have a question for you, Chuck. I don't know if you know this answer. Do you know how many... I'm going to ask you two questions. Do you know how many assists Hassan Whiteside had in the month of March?
No, I don't.
Can I set the over-under?
Set the over-under, John.
9.
The over-under, I'm going to make this easy on you. We're going to cut that in half.
Oh, dear.
Let's make the over-under 4.
4.
You're going over-under.
I'll go over.
Here's a new question. How many assists does Hassan Whiteside have in his career?
This is the worst Game of Scones.
This isn't even... All right. How many assists does Hassan Whiteside have in his career? I'll set the over-under at 4.
Five. Okay. Under.
I tricked you. He has 5.
Oh, you...
Holy moly.
This just came up. His job is to catch
That's
the ball and
Zach
put it in the hole.
Randolph passing.
That is some Yinkadare passing. That is that came across my desk. I got excited about it.
Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Speaking of big men who are passing.
Yes.
Has have over the past 9 games, 7 of the last 9, he's averaged 6 assists. Up until March 5th, he didn't have a game.
Honestly, I'm going to say 1 or 2 of those a game are friend of the show Quincy Pondexter actually hitting jump shots.
Right.
Yes,
that is,
I think he might be onto something there.
Those big man assist totals go up when guys hit when those guards actually start hitting jumpers. If David Anderson was still alive, Anthony Davis would be averaging a triple double.
When you're passing to Tyreek Evans and Coupon, it can get a little dark for the assist numbers.
That's right, Jimmer. Why don't you knock this one? Oh.
It's just that's just a crazy development in a player that's already pretty dominant. If he does decide that he wants to be one of the better passing big men in the game, a Noah or a Gasol, he can end up dominating in ways that we really can't understand. So he's just sniffing how to really learn how to play the game of basketball, and that is frightening.
It's exciting. You really wish they would surround him with talent.
Dude's putting up Wilt-like game score numbers and win share numbers and PER already, so it's just coming.
Here's an all-time achievement. Tony Parker is now... He's played 1,000 games, and he is the winningest player ever through 1,000 games. Won 718 of his first 1,000 games. Scottie Pippen was second at 715. So congrats to the Frenchman, Tony Parker.
Yeah.
Cheated on Eva Longoria.
Speaking of the Spurs, my favorite thing of the week was, one of them, was Chalmers hit a half-court shot.
It was
swish.
A good one. It was a swish.
Swish.
No wonderful. Rim.
Wonderful. Oh, my favorite
so
thing.
So beautiful.
You know what I want to do? I want to do a segment. You guys see Greg.
Dude.
Greg Popovich. Yeah, that was lightning.
I don't
Greg
know if the
Popovich is accompanied by thunder.
That Zeus style intro. I don't know if the mics picked up that, but the loudest thunderclap
okay,
just happened.
I'm going to play on my phone right now Popovich watching the shot going. You guys see it?
I haven't seen that.
Popovich's face is so perfect.
We got to tweet the Popovich has with a very eyes following the ball, almost Wimbledon style.
There's just no emotion in it. He's like, it went in. It's kind of good. We'll put it on the Twitter feed. Look for us. Fast break, break.
That's the face Little Bill makes in Boogie Nights when he catches his wife in coitus right before he blows his brains out.
Yeah.
That's where you just go, maybe my life's not turning out so well.
Probably not the best thing.
So that's the last straw.
I do think, however, for Popovich and the Spurs, things are turning out just fine. They are...
They rope-a-doped us all.
I think it's funny how...
Tony Parker especially, by the way.
I think it's funny how...
Guys, I just want to state for the record, I called this. I said they just are done. They're hungover. They know they've done this for 2 years in a row, what they need to do. They were playing rope-a-dope.
It's amusing how all media, and now since we produce content every week, we got roped into it. How you watch them forever and you're like, oh no, they're just playing around with the Spurs.
You know what it
is? They're just playing around with the Spurs. And then after 18 weeks, you're like, man, they don't look very good.
It's the search for storyline.
It is the search for stuff. And then it's like they're back and it's...
You got to craft the narrative.
Everyone's scrambling to avoid.
To constantly evolve. And in this case, we got duped. Oh, well, Chuck didn't get duped.
They have
Keith and I got duped.
They have a chance to definitely win all the rest of their games. They have a toughish schedule, and I think it all comes down to, do they want to do the thing where they end on a high note?
Right.
Which I think they might be wanting to.
I think they're you know, Kawhi Leonard being out for as long as he was huge. He does so much for that team. He's just like, he is their centerpiece as far as,
he is bonkers.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk, actually, in the Grizzlies epilogue, we're going to talk specifically about the Western Conference playoff seeding. And if that interests you, stick around, so it'll be less Grizzly-centric. There's a good chance the Clippers and the Spurs have a chance, actually, to pass the Grizzlies and even the Rockets, who have a really tough schedule. We'll talk more about that in the Grizzlies epilogue.
What about Phoenix?
At the end. Phoenix keeps on.
Are we even
losing?
Is there about?
Nope.
There's many.
Nope.
There's few teams that we talk less about than them.
I feel like I talk about the Suns a lot. I'm very into them. They were one of my fun.
They've
been such a disappointment.
I kind of think I have a conspiracy about them.
Oh, about the Suns?
Yeah. Oh.
About why they?
No, I just
okay.
So this comes from Scooper 1030 on Reddit.
Well, so this is, I believe, Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week.
This comes from Scooper 1030 on Reddit. So he doesn't think that the Suns actually even exist. You know, he thinks that Robert Sarver is so cheap he actually sold the team after 2010. They made that playoff run, and he's kind of just fooled everybody. You wouldn't even know about it.
Their games come on awfully late.
They're awfully late. They're perpetually mediocre. Not enough of a bottom feeder to laugh at, but not any good enough to cause any issues. Your team plays them. I know as a Heat fan, they exist. I got a player from them. That could all just be smoke and mirrors. You know, there could be just like, a crazy, somewhere.
Now that I think about it, have we ever seen Alex Lynn and Yusuf Nurkic in the same place at the same time?
See? And the only way to remove a team from the NBA, still get all the royalties and split the revenue, is to have everyone believe you exist. But really, it's just like holograms. It's like the Tupac holograms on the court.
This goes back to actually maybe our second episode when I saw Marcus Morris or Markieff Morris at a craps table, and I walked away and came back, and there was a different one in different clothing. They might just be the same person.
And that's bullshit. They don't play on this. No twins play on the same team together. This isn't a Disney movie.
Goran and Zoran.
Those aren't twins. They're brothers. No twins play on the same team together. That's weird and something you would have a writer who is plotting a script.
But what if these twins had matching tattoos and lived in the same house?
And were obsessed with getting technical fouls.
Do you know who they picked for the 13th pick in the 2011 draft?
Johnny Flynn.
Fran Castillo, who is brother of Sauce Castillo.
Sauce Castillo.
So whatever. And you remember, like, Goran Dragic was like, he wasn't getting the ball. He was just,
I want to get out of this
corner.
Fictional team.
I was just standing in the corner. Yeah, it's because nobody was there.
I was standing in the corner of a movie set, of a green screen.
Let me ask
you guys
a question.
Know X-Files is coming back, right?
I've heard.
We need to ask Cigarette Smoking Man about this.
That's it. But the only thing that maybe could be the end of this.
Yes.
Tell me if you've ever met a Phoenix Sun.
Fan?
Person.
Like a fan or anything?
Yeah, anything. Anybody you know that's like, yeah, I'm big about the Phoenix Suns.
No, I got nothing.
This could all be a ruse, man.
Jesus Christ. Been
grifted.
Everything's connected. It's all connected. This all goes back. Goes back to the Barkley Hornacek trade, doesn't it?
I was going to go back even. I thought I was going back to Kubrick faking the moon landing.
Holy moly, the cans. Yeah. Those cans in The Shining.
I borrowed all of these from Jaden Smith, by the way.
Oh, good. He's clear.
Yes.
He's totally clear.
Well, see, now our listeners know what that means, John, because they watched it on HBO.
And we talked
about. Hey, why don't you read the book, you troglodytes?
No one knows what that word means.
What is that?
All right, so that's Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week.
With thunderclaps.
With thunderclaps. I got a couple of stats.
Is it time?
No, it's actually not time. It might be time. I'm going to say two things, and then it'll be time. One, the Warriors are 40-0 when their opponent doesn't score 100 points.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, Any stat.
Can we call that the Bogut line?
Anytime you can come up with a stat that's 40-0, that is staggering.
Guarantee you that David Lee didn't play much in any of those games.
Next item of note. Lionel Hollins recently said,
This is amazing.
Quote, I don't think managing your minutes lengthens your career by 1 minute. End quote. That's our prickly bear.
You know what they call that? A logical fallacy. Way to go, Lionel. Don't miss you at all. Miss your suits, though.
On Lionel's behalf, I will say his teams might now have a pattern of finishing strong. The Grizzlies had some very excellent March and Aprils under his watch. And now the Nets, who were bad, are winning games. The Parrish Hex has been cast strong upon you.
If they can survive the Parrish Hex, then you might.
I look for them to stumble down the stretch.
Otherwise, I claim small sample size. Okay. But if the Parrish Hex is stifled, then perhaps you're correct.
Now, quickly, it is time for trivia. This is Game of Scones.
Oh, dear.
Where Chuck is undefeated, and John, who I assume to be a...
Minnesota Timberwolves of Game of Scones.
I will just say I assume John would, at the very least, carry his weight.
No.
So this week's Game of Scones...
Not wearing it
trivia
well.
...trivia contest.
I look like Brian Windhorst.
Your question will be, since 1989, which 16 players not selected in the first round were All-Stars? So this is mainly second-round draft picks and a handful of free agents.
This is brutal.
Which 16 players since 1989 have made the All-Star team without being first-round picks? We'll play when you miss three, you lose.
This may be three strikes. Three pitches, three strikes here.
Whiff, whiff, whiff.
Okay, Chuck is the all-time defending champion, has deferred, so John will go first with a guess.
Chuck has already three-peated. I'm trying to avoid a four-peat. I will go with Mark the Shark Gasol.
Mark the Shark Gasol is correct.
Good one. Michael Redd.
Michael Redd, Milwaukee Bucks. Second-round draft pick is absolutely correct.
That's bad, because that was my next guess.
Sweet.
Stay out of my mind, you monster. Draymond Green?
Draymond Green.
Did he not make the All-Star
has
team?
Never made an All-Star Damn game.
Should have made the All-Star team.
That's a strike on John.
who
commonly misplaces hand. One of the standard. Really missed a very basic thing right there.
Right.
Once again, this person must have made the All-Star game.
Must have been an All-Star.
Okay. Gordon Giricek. He's out.
Out.
Second round drive, never made an All-Star team.
I hate Game of Scones.
Okay. All right, Chuck, you got one?
Yeah.
No, why?
Basically, all I have to do is just wait for John to lose, because he already has one wrong. I don't have one.
You got to get some right, though.
Okay. Do I have one right?
I have another.
You have one right. You have another.
I'm coming for you.
Anthony Mason?
No.
Has Anthony Mason made an All-Star team?
I'm almost certain he has made an All-Star team, but I'm pretty sure he's a
first-round
pick.
When he led the Heat in scoring, which is another nightmare game.
All right, that's a strike for Chuck. John, you have anything?
I will go with, since 1989?
Yep.
I don't know if he made an All-Star team, but I'm going to try Arvydas Sabonis.
That is incorrect. I don't know on which point he missed, but I'm sure
I think he was a first round pick.
That is not one.
He was drafted multiple times.
Yeah. All right, that's two strikes for John.
All right.
Why?
Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver is correct.
Is it really?
That is correct.
Man.
That is... All right. So now, Chuck looks to be in the catbird seat.
Oh, dear God.
Is that a proper usage of that?
So you have to get...
That is correct.
You have to get more... I already won.
I got to fight. That's two strikes.
All right, John.
No, you have to get two more before you get one wrong. Not going to happen.
Scottie Pippen.
No.
Son of a
21st, wasn't he?
No, that's
three strikes.
And John's already out. There are so many. There are guys.
The only player I got correct is my literal favorite player.
Three of these guys are still in the league.
Oh, dear. Jeff Teague.
No, first round pick.
Eighth pick.
There is one of Kyle Korver's teammates. It was a second round draft pick at the Utah Jazz.
Millsap. No way.
Millsap.
Yeah, Paul Millsap.
He was a second-round pick.
Second-round pick. One of our favorite players from Mobile, Alabama, scored 51 points in a game this year.
What have we become?
Anybody? Anybody?
Mo Williams.
Man.
Forgot he made it all sorts.
Here's another hint. And one. And one.
Skip to
Boozer.
Carlos Boozer. Yeah.
See, if you give me hints, I'm going to be undefeated.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Rafer Alston.
Hintlessness, I'm screwed.
There are so many. Once again, I kind of wish you guys had done better.
These are
tough. I'll read them out real quick.
I just want to say for the record, like,
it's in my head.
A while back, Keith and I like plotted on having you always lose.
Well played.
But we never did
we
it.
We never actually did it. It's just working out. Like, what if John lost every game of
our
Scones?
Plan
was, just watch him get angry. And I was
Chuck,
like,
Chuck and I had a plan a long time ago about I would provide Chuck with all the answers, and we never did it.
And it's still I'm still doing it. So,
all right, listeners, I swear I'm knowledgeable. I promise.
Mehmet Okur.
Yeah.
Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, yeah.
Manu Ginobili. Wow. Brad Miller. Rashard Lewis.
Oh, that was my next one.
Ben Wallace.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten
undrafted free agent. Nick Van Exel, Cedric Sabalos, Antonio Davis, and one of my favorite NBA players ever, Clifford Robertson.
Oh,
I have no excuses.
I watch
the draft every year.
Yeah. I almost said Clyde Drexler, and I was like, no, he was a top pick, but it's because I thought Clifford Robinson.
Yep. All right.
They're like
the original headband man, Slick Watts.
Once again, that was our Game of Scones. Now for the awards segment of our program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which goes to the worst performance in a box score, most heavily weighted on shooting performances. I'm going to give you guys, instead of nominees, we're going to go five, or instead of honorable mentions, five straight nominees. And we have a couple of returning nominees, which I'm very happy about. Both of these guys were mentioned last week as positives. I'm happy that they've returned to
Kinsane in the brain.
The patterns which we most readily identify them with. Nominee number one, Kinsane Clown Posse, Kentavious Caldwell Pope, a two-time winner.
Magnets, how do they work?
4 for 20. Oh.
My ninja.
4 for 20, 10 points, 5 boards, 4 steals. 4 steals, pretty good.
That is pretty good.
In a win against the Magic, Andre Iguodala. 1 for 11 in a blowout victory against our Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm honestly surprised he hasn't appeared more, because he is a guy who, while a good team player, can put up some hellacious.
Speaking of a player that we're surprised has not appeared more, Josh Smith, 3 for 14, 8 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 turnovers.
There is no way he can show up and me not vote for him. Just years of abuse.
Corey Brewer in a tight win on Wednesday night. The Rockets against the Kings. 1 for 10. 2 points, 2 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then our boy, we pointed out you were playing well. We almost apologized to you. But Reggie Jackson's back. 3 for 16. Although he did stuff the stats. 9 points, 8 assists,
Reggie's
7 boards.
Back again.
So our nominees this week, KCP, 4 for 20. I consider him a high nominee.
Quit trying to influence us.
I am trying to influence you. Right? Iguodala, 1 for 11. Josh Smith, 3 for 14.
Harvey Weinstein over here.
Corey Brewer, you will like Shakespeare in Love. That is your move, and you will like it.
You will like it. You will like it now.
You will vote for Best Picture. Corey Brewer, King's Speech. Sorry. Yeah. Corey Brewer, 1 for 10. Yeah. Reggie Jackson, 3 for 16. I believe John's already tipped his hand with a
Jace move forever.
Jace move forever.
Hey, I really am so happy for the Rockets when they inevitably cut him before the playoffs to remove their Josh Smith weighted vest that's holding them down. But they will be. That's my guy, because I'll never not vote for that guy. He's so bad.
I believe we called that step just swarp.
Just swarp.
Yeah.
Josh Smith with 2 votes. I will give my vote to KCP, just out of devotion.
Muscle memory?
I believe he has passed.
This was a very political eye shot voting.
He has passed Quincy Pondexter in references for our entire run.
That's true.
That's exciting. A non-Grizzly. All right, so Josh Smith. Jay Smoove, congratulations. You are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. I can see him making a late run.
Absolutely. Terrence Jones is back. He's going to start chucking to keep his spot.
I can see him making a late run. All right.
He's the third best power forward on that team now that Terrence is back. Him and Donuts might are going to be battling it out.
Hope Donuts as well. His back was acting up, flaring up. They are fighting it. Everyone's fighting injuries.
Jay Smoove is behind this. It's a plot.
All right, now let's wrap up. Our par fadeaway, what are the things we're looking forward to this week? I think it's just the races. Everything's coming down. Everything can We didn't even mention the Eastern Conference race.
Yeah, and the two and seven seeds looking like they're going to be in the East, Miami and Cleveland, which will make for absolutely gorgeous basketball, too. As far as a drama perspective, it's going to be a massacre, a complete massacre, reverse jinx. And so
that has to happen or I give up.
Yeah, there's no way.
I think we all have the same par fadeaway. Please, basketball gods, Xenu, Allah, Ball, Jabalon.
Martha Stewart.
Jesus.
Oprah.
Let Cavs Heat happen for our little podcast.
We need it.
We do need it.
We need it bad.
If we're going to continue this podcast into the 2015-16 season, we're going to need a Cavs Heat series just to come up with material.
Well, if the Heat win that series, in the unlikely certainty that they do, we will have a funeral service for the scorned Heat fan text segment that we have, and it will be reborn the boastful whole Heat fans.
Here's another 2015-16 fast break breakfast. Potential is just bitter and angry Grizzlies fan when the Grizzlies fall to the sixth seed.
Yeah,
and then get punched out by the Clippers in the first round.
I'm waiting for a despondent Grizz fan text.
We just need to text more. We need to get more on the record. We need to get more on the record.
I'm not even classy enough to converse when things are going poorly. So
no.
It'll just be you and Keith. Yeah. With me texting like pictures of like dongs and severed nipples like and disturbing things.
Usual stuff that you send us.
Shut up, text.
I'll give you, all right, for closing, I'll give you my two things. I'm not even look at it, just two things I still wanted to mention. Last week, Ersan Ilyasova hit 12 straight shots. I feel like if we're ever going to mention Ersan Ilyasova, that was it.
Getting Illy.
Don't you ever pollute my phone with an Ilyasova heat check text ever again.
I was so excited.
That was pollution, pure pollution.
Our longtime listeners will be very excited. Based on a 10-day contract that the Atlanta Hawks signed, I believe we have another pair of teammate babushkas.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
We have already in the league on permanent, you know, guaranteed contracts. We have Kosta Kufis and Nick Kalathis, big babushka, little babushka on the Grizzlies.
Nesting
we have
balls.
NBA MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, big babushka to Dante Exum.
Dante Sexum.
And
Sex
now,
devil.
Gonna ride that caw train.
Caw.
Down in Atlanta on a 10-day contract. Austin Day, big babushka to John Jenkins.
It's happening.
Saw him on TV playing at the same time.
Might be too similar in size to be true to babushkas.
Well, see, Austin Day with his tantalizing length and practice gym shooting ability keeps getting this workouts on every team.
Austin Day, a true Gladwellian outlier in that he has fooled not only Popovich, but now Budenholzer.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if the Hawks signed him, but the Spurs did that thing where they fake signed him to throw teams off the you know, off the smell, off the scent.
Yeah. Well, they saw what they did when they traded Josh Smith. So they got, you know, or what are they? They let him go, right?
He stinks.
They got better. So they get, if you get into that thing of signing a player to get better when he is like, oh, there's no person to.
Hopefully Mike Scott will come back strong.
I thought Austin Day was going to be a guy, man, because he could shoot and is big and is.
Exactly.
Like,
no, you're saying the thing everyone. Yeah, like, oh, he's really tall and he can shoot. Yeah. We can just make him sit. No, he can't do it.
He can't.
He cannot do it in a game.
Nope. It's impossible.
All right. So thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Yeah. Tell your friends about us. Rate us on iTunes. share us.
Steal our theme music.
Steal our theme music. Speaking of, we might you have little starters built on live music as our outro to bounce it out. And stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue, where I remain slightly optimistic, but tell you all the horrible things that are likely going to happen.
Not really a Grizzlies epilogue this week, if you want to stick around, too. More of a standings epilogue.
Yes.
Western Conference style.
All right, thanks, guys. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. The Grizzlies, after getting smoked by Cavs, Warriors, and Spurs, bounced back to the smallest degree.
Depleted Kings.
By winning a game against... Rudy Gay was torching them. And then,
until we knocked him out.
And that also featured the Gasol-Hogan jersey tear.
Good gravy. He had enough.
Is that man okay?
He is a real Spaniard.
He had the... All right, so as the standing, which we talked about earlier, so the standings, I think they're concerning. It's, you hope the Grizzlies get it together. The Grizzlies' schedule is not too overwhelmingly tough. The only problem is some of the more winnable games are against teams that match up well against the Grizzlies and are playing well. So the Grizzlies,
I think it's overwhelmingly tough.
Okay, so the Grizzlies remaining on their schedule, and we don't always do such time-sensitive things, so hopefully you are listening to this before these games go down. They're playing a homestand, the Thunder, the Wizards, and the Pelicans.
They will win two of those three.
And then they go on the road to play at Rudy Gobert.
Loss.
Jazz. At the Clippers, which will be a huge
humiliating
game.
Loss.
Which will be a huge game. As I'll explain, then at Golden State, which you assume they're playing...
Soul-crushing Death Star
You assume
loss.
They're only playing that, Festus Ezeli and who's that, McAdoo?
I don't know, because Steve Kerr has shown that he's not good at this resting players
I think
business.
At the second-to-last game of the year, the Warriors, they have everything wrapped up. I think they'll be totally shut
and
down.
And he is taking a lot of heat for how stupid he is resting players.
But well, then, then they'll play the Pacers. I think this schedule most likely... You hope the Grizzlies play great and they get together, but I still think 4-3 is most likely what ends up happening. There's three losses there. If that's the case, the good news is the Grizzlies could still possibly win the Southwest Division because the Rockets have a insane murderer's row. Right now, the Grizzlies and the Rockets have the same record, 51-24. The Rockets play at Mavericks, at Thunder, at Spurs, home Pelicans, then at Charlotte, and then against Utah at home.
Yeah, but here's the deal. They match up as well or better against all of those teams than the Grizzlies.
That's possible.
And also, the Rockets are on fire.
They are playing better.
The Grizzlies are a funeral pyre. It's a disaster right now.
Nice turn of phrase.
I'm going full superstar Billy Graham, Dusty Rhodes here. I mean, seriously, the Grizzlies have me... Chuck and I leaned Grizzlies disaster last week, and you were very optimistic. And not to... I told you so, but this turn of events has me worried about almost any seven-game series, to be quite honest. I don't know what's happening.
There was a point... I think I started the year really high on the Grizzlies. It's interesting for me to look back and think of... how they've risen and fallen in my personal private power rankings, you know, like beginning of the year, I thought we don't share them. I thought they were a dark horse title candidate. And then my best case scenario seemed like it was playing out and I'm like, no, they're going to be a good title candidate. And I thought they were clearly better than many of the Western Conference teams up until about a week ago. Like I was scared that they were looking bad ever since after the All-Star break. And now it's like, where I went from like a 90% confidence in a series against like the Clippers.
Can we play a miniature game of scones really quickly?
Very quickly, yes.
Chuck, outsider, who has tried to temper our enthusiasm, I'm going to go through each team and ask who would win against the Grizzlies in a seven-game series.
I don't like this game.
Golden State Warriors.
They're going to kill you.
Houston Rockets.
Yeah. Then you're not going to beat them.
Portland Trailblazers.
You have a chance.
Los Angeles Clippers.
You will probably, they're playing really well, so you'll probably lose.
San Antonio Spurs.
No chance at all.
Dallas Mavericks.
You have a chance.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
They, without Durant, are beatable.
So, from an unbiased outsider's opinion, we're looking at roughly...
Slightly hater, though.
No.
Borderline hater?
I don't Not think at so. All. No, I don't, think I don't so. Hate them. I like the
I think you've mischaracterized Chuck.
Okay.
No,
Chuck and I, when we watch each other's teams, we root for each other's teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we are real friends, you monster.
And, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I watched a championship caliber team for the past 4 years.
Chuck, I know what they look knowledge. Like.
That's why this podcast has been so hard for me to do, because I'm sad about the shitty team that we have fielded in Miami. So,
I'm with you. Where now I am scared. I think the Grizzlies match up well against teams like the Mavs, the Trailblazers, and even the Clippers. Still,
there was a point in time when we matched up well against the Rockets.
The Rockets. Yeah. I was going to say, I think they might match up great. A lot of that is because guys keep getting hurt. Patrick Beverley being out, I think, is a big blow for the Rockets against the Grizzlies.
I think so, too, except here, and this is my thesis statement for this Grizzlies epilogue. The difference is this Mike Conley is nothing. This Mike Conley is an average point guard. And okay. I think it's injury-related. I don't think we are seeing the decline of Mike Conley. I think we're seeing him play through something that he can't play through.
One of the takeaways from the blowouts was I actually thought Mike Conley rounded into form. He was the only one who showed up.
I agree offensively. I completely disagree defensively.
They just look tired. Jaeger gave a really candid interview on the Chris Vernon show. It accomplished its
great
stated,
radio show.
It accomplished its stated goal. Mm-hmm. Much like that Westbrook PR piece, that PR fluff piece that got you so inspired earlier.
I am feeling misty right now.
It accomplished the goal of talking about how the Grizzlies had 22 games in 37 days and how the team had really been struggling with all. And they're an old team that has no depth. And so he was saying how we're good where we are, but there's no way that currently Grizzlies fans can have a bunch of confidence. Like, you have to grasp at straws at random teams throughout history who have entered the playoffs not looking great and then kind of rounded into form. And there's even examples like just the Mavs last year who lost in the first round.
Right.
But who looked actually pretty bad coming in, but then they gave the Spurs a great challenge.
They're the only team that even played there
was
the Spurs.
I mean, but there was a Celtics team that finished a struggle of a season before making, I believe, the Eastern Conference Finals, or the one of those Celtics teams had that same type of scenario. And you hope it is. It's a team where they're old, they're a little beat up, they're tired, they just want to get to the playoffs. I'm going to mention the Clippers' final games, six games, Nuggets twice, Lakers twice, Grizzlies at home, and then Suns. There's a good chance the Clippers
Unfair.
Win. There's a good chance the Clippers win all those games and we end up with 56.
Good chance they're going to win all of those games.
So that would give them 56 wins. That would mean the Rockets and Grizzlies would both need to go 5-2 over kind of tough schedules to beat them. There's a good chance the Grizzlies are passed by the Clippers.
They start Enes Kanter at all five positions, the Clippers are going
to
run
wild. Say that we didn't even have a chance to mention it. Enes Kanter's defense. Oh,
least valuable defensive player.
He's bad. Well, we're big enough Dame Lillard.
That's the two horse race.
But that's what we should do.
Instead of MVPs,
we'll do least valuable players.
Least valuable defensive player.
But players that
contributors.
That
least valuable starter.
Remove of starters in the league. Removed. We just brainstormed a segment.
So,
live.
Tune in next week to the starters.
I'm curious what the Spurs...
don't lie.
I think we all agree the Spurs don't care who they play.
No, not at all.
They're built to beat every team,
and
which
so
is more teams better
my,
than others.
My question is, will the Spurs play to win all their games?
No.
Or will they just be like, you know what? I feel like we've hit a good rhythm. Now we're still going to rest some guys. So I don't know the answer to that.
I think they'll go for home court.
I don't think they give one solid poop about home court. I'm just trying to save you those bleeps.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, just I know I went kind of hard earlier.
solid poop.
One solid. They don't give one well-formed stool.
What I would give. What I would give for one solid poop Brent a day. Poop.
Right. Yeah, Mr. Hanky kind of poop.
George Brett crab stories.
Yeah. They don't care where they play, crab. Who they play. They were one game.
No, crab.
Oh,
crab. The crab. Yeah, the crab in the yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Guys, let's get back to basketball.
I'm sorry, basketball. Vegas.
Look at me. I'm the one that's saying let's talk basketball. That's great. So, but they don't care who they play. I mean, they basically were like a one bunny shot away from beating the Heat twice, and probably the best team of the past 8 or 10 years was that Heat team that went 27 games straight, and they almost beat them. They did it again, massacred a good Heat team. They're going to murder people in the playoffs. It's all about health and matchups for them, and I think there aren't any matchups aside, honestly, from Dallas. I think Dallas can give them hiccups.
They typically struggle against Dallas.
Right, and I just think it'll be fun to watch, but they're a juggernaut, man. They're just a juggernaut.
I think there's a good chance. I mean, better than fair. It's so weird where you don't normally see this much movement in the final 7 games of an NBA season. It just seems out of nowhere Clippers could jump to the 2 seed. If they win all 6 of their final games. And
they're only a game behind, really.
They're a game and a half behind right now. So they could finish with 56 wins. I think it's most likely the Grizzlies and Rockets could still tie at 55 wins. And the Grizzlies might be the 3 seed, then the Rockets would be the 5 because the world's crazy where division-winning Portland gets the 4 seed no matter what.
Yes.
Even though you don't get home court advantage. And then...
I think you're right. I think the Grizzlies are going to slip.
Under that scenario, the Grizzlies could win the Southwest Division and host the 6 seed Spurs. It's just, it's all very interesting.
I don't see the Spurs... Here's what I see with the Spurs. I think they're going to try to get home court.
Okay.
I really do. I think they look at that as valuable, and I think if you look at Pop's history, he sees that as valuable. I don't think he cares about which team he matches up against,
right?
But I do think he cares about home court.
And I would think, even though they don't say it, I assume the Spurs would not want... I assume they would prefer to stay in the 6th spot, even if it cost them home court advantage, because I think they still would like another team to have to play. They want the Warriors to win 2 series before they play them.
Right, right.
I think if they have any really? Shot at avoiding the Warriors.
I think you might be giving NBA coaches too much credit. I think home court and home, just
I know.
Home is so big to coaches
really is.
And right. to athletes. Because it's about the travel and it's about the ease of play and about controlling your environment. And I mean, I hate to say it, but stuff like, that stuff really matters to them.
Yeah.
I don't think they care about as much about who they play. And I think in history shows that good teams aren't that worried about it. And when you try to maneuver into a spot, it's almost always disastrous.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many examples in the past where it's gone so horribly wrong, which led to the greatest celebration in history with the Dikembe Mutombo with all 4 limbs flailing.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Verified by Alonzo Mourning.
I know. Yeah, that was big news for the people like us in the world.
Thank God.
Where after Mutombo denied it, Mourning verified.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Zoe.
So Portland looks to be in the most trouble in the long run. The Spurs finish up with the Nuggets, the Warriors, and then at the Thunder, Rockets back-to-back with the Rockets 2 games.
That's pretty rough.
It is kind of rough, but I still feel like they're going to be... So that's why I think they're going to lose a couple, and I think it's going to be really hard for them to move. I just see the Clippers flying... Unless they drop some crazy like Nuggets game or something goofy, or Jordan Clarkson gets them in a L.A. back-to-back, but... All right, I'll wrap with this. Are you surprised, as I am, that Tony Allen adjusted to the delay of game rule where you can't touch the ball after the basket?
Stupefied.
I thought that rule change was going to undo the Grizzlies, and Tony Allen would be getting 5 delay of games every game. We'd be losing 5 points a game with him not touching the ball. He only does it every now and then.
And when he does it, you can see him be like, oh, no.
Or every now and then he does it and he knows he's being bad. He's like the willful child like, no, I'm going to take it.
I'm dumping right now, Dad.
All right. So thanks for listening. Sorry if we brought you down, but personally, I'm terrified the Grizzlies are going to fall all the way out of home court advantage. But Here's to sweet dreams of Mike Conley playing healthy, Jeff Green continuing the tear he's been on, Courtney Lee finding his shot,
Calathes returning to Calathes of first half,
Tony Allen's hamstring being healed, Zebo having the energy to go, Gasol being aggressive. And the Grizzlies may be winning 6 of their last 7, soaring into the playoffs with their Southwest Division title. Chuck, we raise those to the rafters.
Done.
There are no banners hanging in FedEx Forum.
Beautiful.
Except for Don Poyer. Only in Memphis in the movies. Hope I got that quote right. I don't know if I did.
Nope.
All right. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Ta-ta.